Good afternoon, everybody. We have just had a very good resolution adopted in the Security Council on humanitarian access in Syria. Good because the Council was united and because we've adopted a very practically focused operational resolution. The Council has been united in this, unanimous decision, because all of us recognise that every month, every day, the situation on the ground in Syria gets worse. 6,000, 7,000 new refugees every day. One Syrian family is displaced every minute. The Secretary General has been reporting to the Council every month since we adopted Resolution 2139 in February on the implementation of that resolution. His judgment has been that it is not being implemented, and that is why the Council has taken the action we have taken today. The test for us three co-authors, and I want to acknowledge and thank Luxembourg and Jordan for the wonderful leadership we've been able to show together to get a resolution like this. The test for us has been, what kind of change can we actually make on the ground? We've worked very closely with OCHA and the UN system to deliver a resolution which we believe actually will help people. The advice to us is that the additional four border crossings that will now be opened will allow access by humanitarian agencies of the UN to at least an additional 1.3 million people, and hopefully as many as 2 million if the openings are properly utilised. It's a very practical resolution, but obviously it means nothing if it's not implemented. We're confident now that the UN system will be in a position to actually implement this resolution in close cooperation with the neighbouring countries. I'll hand over to my two co-authors, but I'll make one final point. Security Council resolutions are binding, and in this resolution, the Council has affirmed that we will take measures if it is not implemented. Ambassador Lucas.
Thank you very much. As you have heard, we actually, the co-authors, we had hoped that it would not be necessary to have to adopt a new resolution, because, but for all the reasons just stated and recalled by Ambassador Quinlan, unfortunately, Resolution 2139 was not implemented, and the resolution situation has further deteriorated. So we had to look for further measures to ensure humanitarian access and to finally get assistance to all those in need throughout Syria, and it was done. So we looked at this, and I would like to a little bit specify what is in the provisions of this resolution once more. First, the Council decided that the United Nations humanitarian agencies and their implementing partners are authorized to use the routes across conflict lines and the border crossings of Bab al-Salam, Bab al-Rawa, al-Yarobiya, and al-Ramsa, in addition to those border crossings already in use. The UN will no longer need formal authorization by the Syrian authorities in order to use these four cross borders or other direct routes to ensure that humanitarian assistance reaches people in need. Humanitarian assistance, and I would like to really draw your attention also very much to the fact that the resolution specifies we're speaking about humanitarian assistance, including medical and surgical supplies. You know, there had been major problems in this respect. The Council also decided through the resolution it adopted this morning that all impediments to the provision of humanitarian assistance must be immediately dismantled. Equally important, the provisions of operative paragraph 6, which clearly states that the distribution of aid will be done on the basis of United Nations assessments of need and not on the basis of mappings done by Damascus. This clearly indicates that the Council will no longer tolerate humanitarian action becoming privy to political calcul or military and strategic considerations. And I wish to stress also that these provisions are not only clear, they are legally binding. Their implementation will be closely monitored by the Security Council. As you have seen, the resolution extends the monitoring mechanism which was implemented by Resolution 2139, monthly reports to the Security Council, is extended now also to this resolution. So every month the Council will get information how this resolution is implemented and, as stated, in case there is non-compliance with this resolution or with Resolution 2139, the Council affirms its determination that it will take further measures. Allow me just to add, perhaps before handing over to Ambassador of Jordan, just to add a few words in French, if you allow. Donc, je voudrais vraiment souligner que la résolution que nous venons d'adopter à l'unanimité au niveau du Conseil ce matin, c'est supposé, c'est une résolution dont on aurait espéré qu'elle serait nécessaire parce que ça aurait signalé qu'effectivement la résolution 2139 que le Conseil avait adoptée le 22 février de cette année-ci aurait été mise en œuvre. Malheureusement, nous avons reçu rapport après rapport du secrétaire général qui signalait que non seulement il n'y avait pas mise en œuvre, mais que la situation humanitaire était en train de se détériorer davantage. Les chiffres sont terribles, qu'on entend 10,8 millions de personnes en Syrie qui ont besoin d'aide humanitaire, 6,4 millions de personnes déplacées internes, plus de 2,8 millions de réfugiés, plus de 4,5 millions de personnes qui se trouvent dans des régions difficiles d'accès, voire pas du tout. Cette résolution, elle vise à donner accès, à toutes les personnes indépendamment où elles se trouvent, toutes les personnes dont le besoin en Syrie. Et elle reconfirme une nouvelle fois que les agences humanitaires et leurs partenaires sont autorisés à utiliser toutes les routes. Elles ouvrent des points de passage additionnels pour avoir accès et délivrer cette aide humanitaire. Et donc, si cette résolution est mise en œuvre, elle pourra donner accès à entre 1,4 et 2 millions de personnes. Et c'est des décisions très importantes que le Conseil a prises aujourd'hui, des décisions qui sont contraignantes pour tous les acteurs. I will now hand over to my colleague.
Thank you. I'll say a few words in Arabic, if you will. لقد قام المجلس باعتماد القرار رقم 21-65 هذا الصباح بالإجماع. بعد عدة أسابيع من بدء العملية التفاوضية حولهم حيث يهدف إلى إيصال المساعدات الإنسانية لأكبر عدد من المحتاجين ونحن على قناعة بأن هذا القرار سيدفع بهذا الاتجاه هذا القرار مكون من ثلاث عناصر رئيسية العنصر الأول تأكيد المجلس على أن الأمم المتحدة وأجهزتها الإنسانية وشركاؤها التنفيذيين مخولون باستخدام جميع المعابر لا سيما المعابر الأربعة الواردة في القرار وجميع الطرق المباشرة في سوريا بهدف الوصول الإنساني لأكبر عدد من المحتاجين العنصر الثاني هو أنه سيتم إنشاء آلية مراقبة في دول الجوار في مواقع أممية ستخصص لهذه الغاية بالتنسيق مع السلطات المحلية لدول الجوار قد تكون قريبة من المعابر ولكن أو ليس على ذات المعبر وستقوم البعثة بمراقبة تحميل المواد الإنسانية في الشاحنات ليضمن الجانب السوري بأن هذه الشحنات الإنسانية لن تستغل لأغراض أخرى غير إنسانية. العنصر الثالث هو ما ذكرته في مداخلتي صباح اليوم، وهو أن المجلس سيتخذ تدابير ضد أي طرف سوري لا يمتثل للقرار 21-39 وهذا القرار 21-65، وهذا يعني إجراءات بموجب الفصل السابع. وشكرا.
Ambassadors, are you concerned about the actual implementation in terms of these terrorist groups that have been on the borders of Iraq and Jordan, ISIL and Islamic Front? I mean, how are you going to actually implement it if they're sort of going at some of these particular border crossings? And Prince Zayed, it seems you substituted a different Jordanian border crossing sort of in the last few days. Is that because of it?
In large measure, we've been guided by OCHA on this. In respect of the substitution of the crossing point from Tel Shihab to the crossing point of Ramtha, you're absolutely right. Because of security concerns at that specific point, we requested that we, instead of making reference to Tel Shihab, we refer to the crossing point at Ramtha, and OCHA agreed with us on this assessment. So we had no opposition when it came to changing this this crossing point, once it was clear that OCHA had no problem with it either.
You know, play it by ear as you go and switch them, or do you anticipate problems? Any of you?
I mean, this is a very operational resolution. The point is that OCHA and the UN system operates every single day in Syria, including in areas related to the border, and certainly struggles with the issue of cross-conflict lines. What you'll see in the resolution is we've not only provided for cross-border in a very operational way, these four openings, but also re-emphasized, as we did in February, that cross-conflict lines, access across conflict lines is essential. OCHA and the system have been dealing with this for almost 4 years, 3.5 years now since the conflict. They make operational decisions every day on the ground. They will continue to do so, and of course they will do this taking into account above all the security of their own humanitarian personnel. But in fact, the operations are will be determined by OCHA, and of course this is going to be hard. I mean, this is innovative, we know that, but the situation is so desperate that it call for this kind of strong action. So let's see how it evolves. We'll, of course, be reviewing this every month on the basis of a Secretary General report, and we'll be able, as a council, to make judgments month by month on the advice of OCHA and the UN system precisely how it's going.
To follow up Maggie's question, is there any kind of security going with the accompanying the convoys? Because what's to stop the medicine and surgical supplies from being looted again? And secondly, what plans are there for feeding the people in the Aleppo area?
Again, I think this resolution, like Ambassador Quinlan pointed to it, OCHA is working on these issues for the last 3.5 years, and obviously they will continue all the humanitarian agency on the track. They will have to evaluate the situation as such. This resolution doesn't change and doesn't put into place another mechanism now for, as you were saying, now to in the delivery as such, in the practical delivery. They will have to, like they do it for the moment, have to evaluate the security situation, being in contact with relevant parties in that areas, and then to judge how they will move forward. It is not foreseen by this resolution to have now forces accompanying the convoys as such. As you know, it is foreseen to have a monitoring mechanism, but on the other side of the border present when the loading of the convoy is being done. Then these convoys are going to cross the borders. And the important issue, which I pointed to, is that the distribution will be done on UN-assessed needs. I think that's an important point, because what we have seen before is that sometimes these convoys were then redirected into a warehouse, medical supplies were taken out by the Syrian authorities, and some of these supplies are still sitting there. And I think that is the issue here very much. And OCHA will obviously to work on all these issues and work out also the details, but like they have been working over the last years. What has changed here is that the Council is clearly saying, decides that they are authorized to use routes across conflict line and these additional border crossings. They are authorized through a decision by the Security Council.
My question is regarding the safety of those the UN humanitarian personnel. Mr. Jaffer spoke about 33 Red Crescent staff were killed by terrorist groups. How are you going to face such groups if they attack the convoys? And is there any thinking of a further resolution under Chapter 7 to address terrorism in Syria?
I think, as we've indicated, this system has to be implemented by OCHA and the UN agencies. They give top priority to the security of their own personnel, and this will continue. Our resolution reaffirms that this is a priority for the delivery of aid, that it has to be done with full regard to the security of the humanitarian workers. We have every confidence that that will happen. Of course, this is difficult. In fact, the number of personnel, I think, who have been killed operating for SAARC, the Syrian Red Crescent, is 34, not 33. So we follow this situation very closely. And in fact, the work done by NGOs and groups and the Red Crescent within Syria to deliver aid has to be recognized and has to be admired. But the operational decisions on all of this will be made by OCHA and the UN system, and of course this will remain a priority for them. I think that's really all we can say at this stage. In relation to Chapter 7, the resolution is strong. And in operative paragraph 10, the Council affirms that it will take measures, not steps, measures, in the event of non-compliance by any party with either this resolution from this morning or 2139 in February. So now we have to just ensure it is implemented. But the language of this resolution, which does create new binding obligations on the parties, is, when you look at it, quite strong. Thank you.
I'm sure you heard Ambassador Turkin. What did Ambassador Turkin say?
Yes, I did. This is the question.
You have to come back to the Council
for
the whole other process.
I think this should be the final question, unless the colleagues want to say something. But, Matthew, that was always going to be the situation. Always there would need to be a further decision by the Council if the Council determined we face non-compliance on the basis of an assessment by the Secretary General. So what Ambassador Churkin said is absolutely correct. The Council would need to look at this again and take a decision on what those measures will be. The important thing is we've taken the decision to take measures. Let's leave it until a further decision on any of the detail. Thank you.
How long until the cross-border deliveries actually will start, do you know?
That's being worked through with OCHA and neighbouring countries.
Just to say that the resolution stresses very much that this whole mechanism has to be deployed expeditiously, and I know that's the most the concern certainly of the UN agencies, because as it was stressed in successive reports by the Secretary General, Secretary General always underlined he called for action by the Security Council, and he called for action specifically also on this issue of the cross border, because it would give access to in between 1.4 and 2 million people. And I think that's why the accent is on this. But again, also, and I would like to stress this once more, so Resolution 2139, with its all its provisions, remains in force. And again, also the mechanism, what we now, the monitoring, the reporting mechanism to the Security Council, clearly says it both we will have reporting on both resolutions. It's not that this one is substituting, but we try to address this very specific point where the Secretary General has been telling us since February now, look, because of the decisions which have been taken by the Syrian government, here we have a major problem. Help us there. The Council now has acted. The Council has authorized the UN agencies and the implementing partners to use these routes. So we will hear how it will be done. Thank you. Again, the resolution says to be deployed expeditiously. This is obviously, and it's, I think it's not the Council's business to get into these kind of details. This has to be worked out by OCHA with the neighboring countries, obviously the three neighboring countries concerned, and also all the details worked out. And this mechanism is to be, as the resolution says, to be established under the authority of the Secretary General of the United Nations, and the Council will be informed about implementation. We will have a further rendezvous at the end of this month, you know, to hear the reporting on the resolution 2139, and probably have already first elements on talks how to implement this resolution. Thank you.